All right, the host is taking the stage. Oh, check out Jonathan's hat. Okay, okay, LaughingQuiz.com, break it up, because we're getting ready to rock on this exclusive podcast.
No, we're not going to get started. Five, four, three, two.
Hi, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Jonathan. Welcome to the Laughing Place Podcast, where we discuss, debate, debunk, and deconstruct anything and everything Disney.
That's right. Today we're all talking about time. No, not time as in the herb, but time as in time is of the essence, and not herbal essence. Instead, we'll bring you Disney news, our armchair imagineering discussion about the Timekeeper, our nitpick of the week of the tale as old as time, Beauty and the Beast, our top 10 list of our favorite Disney timepieces, and our first ever Laughing Place podcast contest.
Whoopness. So let's not waste any more time, and let's move on to the news.
The ending film montage in the Great Movie Ride attraction at Disney MGM Studios has been changed. Independence Day has been replaced by The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The Lion King has been replaced by Finding Nemo. And some of the Sister Act segment has been replaced with Chicago. Other films edited in include Pearl Harbor, Shanghai Nights, Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, and Forrest Gump.
I don't know about you, but I think it maybe is a little presumptuous to put in Chronicles of Narnia when it hasn't even come out yet.
Well, I mean, it's going to come out this month, so I mean, it's better to do it now than later, I guess.
It is a really odd scene, too. It is a scene, I believe, of Lucy just looking up at nothing, apparently. It's not like a scene of Aslan or something you would normally expect to see in a Narnia clip.
For the diehard fans.
Also at Disney MGM Studios, One Man's Dream has been changed, so the former bookend segments by Michael Eisner are now substituted with Julie Andrews' off-screen narration. The dialogue is virtually identical.
Except that Julie Andrews doesn't come out and say that she's the CEO of the Disney company.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very good.
I'm Michael Eisner. No, I don't think that would quite work.
She is now the official narrator for everything. You know it'll be bad when you get into the Monsters Incorporated ride and she's like, "Hello, I'm Julie Andrews. Welcome to Monstropolis."
The latest teaser for Cars, the upcoming Disney Pixar film, is now available on Apple.com.
It looks beautiful.
It's funny. Beautiful images. Still not very much about the movie, but that's what I love about Pixar teasers. They actually are teasers and they don't show you the entire plot.
And they're beautiful.
I think once Jonathan's eyes start glazing over, he'll actually pay attention to the teaser.
E. Carden Card Walker, who led the Walt Disney Company for nearly a decade and a half following the death of co-founder Roy O. Disney, passed away at his La Cunada home on Monday, November 29th, at the age of 89. Walker oversaw the building of Epcot, the first international Disney theme park Tokyo Disneyland, and contributed in the creation of the Disney Channel.
And now for today's trivia question. At what time does Mr. Banks march through his door? The answer is later in the show.
And now for Armchair Imagineering, where we put on our sorcerer hat and come up with great ideas for Disney destinations around the world. Today's topic is what they should do with the Timekeeper building at the Magic Kingdom. It has been long rumored that the Timekeeper is closing soon, so it's a very interesting topic.
Let's start with a voicemail that we got.
Hi, guys. This is Greg from Mobile, Alabama. Loving the show, just getting into it. I was calling with y'all's suggestion this week about what to do with the Timekeeper, and I thought about it for a long time and what I would love to see them do. I don't know if the space allows it, but if you guys have ever seen the Spider-Man attraction in Islands of Adventure, I would love for them to do something along those lines with the Incredibles. I just think it would be awesome to have a combination cartoon simulation, because I think the only way you could do the Incredibles any justice be on the screen and not some kind of live-action thing. You know what I'm saying? But keep up the good work, guys. I love the podcast, and I can't wait to hear more of them. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Greg, for that comment. Actually, unfortunately, there really isn't enough space to do an attraction quite as big as Spider-Man, because behind the Timekeeper building is actually a parking lot, which exists between Tomorrowland and Main Street that cast members use as a backstage area. So it is very tight back there. The only thing I can think of is there may be a way to create a small building that almost acts as a hallway, and if you were going to build something at that scale, you would probably use the Carousel of Progress building area as well, and that would be able to channel you from the Timekeeper section to the Carousel of Progress section.
Overall, I think it would be a good idea to use the Spider-Man ride type technology for an Incredibles ride, because to duplicate the sort of superhero action with real sets and real animatronics really just can't be done. I mean, leaping superheroes as animatronics, I don't think it could really be pulled off at all. So, I mean, combining a ride with a movie could really help when it comes to the action. You can't really duplicate superhero action just with real sets. Even if you just had a simulator ride, that could take up small space, yet it could also be good at simulating that sort of action, too.
They do have the Body Wars pods from Wonders of Life that they can move over to the Timekeeper, and then they can make some sort of 3D film with Pixar. I don't think another 3D static, well, not static, but a theater presentation would be a good idea. I think what he has in mind in terms of a enhanced motion vehicle combined with 3D effects is the best option. Unfortunately, it's not the best option for that space just because of the limitation. But I could easily see an attraction like that going into Disney's California Adventure in what is now the Timon lot. One thing about the Timekeeper building, if you just take the Timekeeper by itself, is essentially you have those 9 screens with a big circular space, and some rumors that have been floating around have been like a flying saucers ride, but I personally think that there's a whole lot of flat rides that would fit in that area, and they may not be as glamorous, but it wouldn't be very expensive, and it would help the capacity of the park.
And, so we basically have just discussed on what type of rides could go in there. So the second question is, what would the theming be? Who would you pick? What would be the setting?
I do think Incredibles is a good idea because Buzz Lightyear right next door and Stitch. And I don't think it's a problem for Magic Kingdom to go too cartoony, because I think Epcot is the more realistic park for the future. And so I think Tomorrowland might as well be distinctive from that. Of course, now with Nemo going in there, it's not as. But And there's not a whole lot of other options, I think, that are as good as Incredibles. I really do think it's the best theming option. So I think that wraps up this discussion. This has been Armchair Imagineering. Next week, we're going to be discussing new animal exhibit ideas for Animal Kingdom. So if you have any suggestions about an animal that you think should be displayed at Animal Kingdom, or elaborate or interesting ways to display animals, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-327-5072. If you are under 18 years of age, please make sure you have your parents' or guardian's permission before calling.
Now for This Week in Disney History, where we highlight the historical dates of the week ahead. December 5th is the 104th anniversary of Walt Disney's birthday.
Yay! Moving on now to tour tips, where we give advice from the seasoned Disney destination visitor. Keeping with our topic of time, we're going to discuss some time-saving tips. One of my favorite tips is to see the safari in Animal Kingdom. You can usually see the parade in Africa that ends around 4:30, and because most people clear out of the park, you can usually walk right onto the safari, and it's also a good time to see the animals because it's cooler at that time of day.
When visiting Epcot in the morning, it'd be best if you avoid Spaceship Earth, because Soarin' and Test Track tend to get longer lines as the day goes on.
A good way to tour Epcot is actually to get a fast pass for either Soarin' or Test Track and quickly visit the other, because once you've visited those two attractions, essentially you don't have any more lines, unless you're visiting on a busy day, but essentially you don't have many more lines.
And keep in mind that some rides actually have single rider lines. Test Track is the first one that comes to my mind, so that could help on time as well.
Yeah, and the single rider line means that they are going to split you up, obviously, because they're going to pull you as a single rider. So you're getting on faster because they're using you to fill up all the available spaces when they have a party of three with, and they have four seats available. So you'll be that fourth person. But it means that you could be split up, but quite often I've found that there's parties of two, you know, so if you're also a party of two, you can end up sitting together even from the single rider line. So it can work out, but it's always a risk. And of course, there's the old tried and true suggestion to avoid basic meal times when going for food, especially at counter service restaurants, like between 12 and 2 and like 5 and 6 tend to be the busiest times. So if you can somehow snack around the meals, then you're going to be saving time in terms of getting your food.
And now it's time for Nitpick of the Week, the part of the show where we analyze everything to the millionth degree.
Today we're highlighting A Tale as Old as Time, Beauty and the Beast.
So to start off, why? The prince, you think he have a lot of servants to answer that door. If the servant would have answered the door in the first place, he could have avoided this whole turning into a beast thing anyway.
I know. You know what? I think he was such an obnoxious brat that they're like, fine, answer your own door, saladida.
Well, who is the prince anyway? I mean, it seems that after he turned into the beast, nobody seemed to care that there was no prince around anymore.
And it is really strange. You know many royalty that have like an entire castle built around them with absolutely no mention of their name or initials or anything? If he would have the initials, at least we would know what his first name is. But we don't even know that. He's forever the beast. Or the prince. It's like at the end of the movie, Harold! Stefan!
That's Sleeping Beauty. So that could throw people off. Imagine the merchandising problems.
Well, they would have had for Belle's Castle King Stefan's banquet hall. And it actually would work.
Now, within the enchantment, if there was enough people to turn into all the pieces of furniture within the castle, when they all turned back to people, he wouldn't have any furniture anymore.
Not really. I think maybe you're supposed to assume that the enchantment didn't really turn them into the objects. It was like one of those meshy things where they like transformed into the object. Not like it... Wait.
But at the end, you see Lumiere like go whoosh and he's just like the guy again.
So, yeah, but I guess where the candelabra normally would be in the castle...
It would transport there also, now?
Yeah, it would be back.
Okay, well that would make sense.
Yeah.
But what about the knights? I guess that would be the same thing that I guess
well,
he had.
Well, what are the knights? Like, were they people? Or are they? Because all they can do is move their head.
Were there knights of the beastly table? Well, what about the teacups? Because, I mean, think about it. If this happened 10 years ago, and Chip is supposed to be how old?
I hope he's more than 10.
Because or else he'd be born as a teacup.
That's a very disturbing thought.
I don't really want to think about it too thoroughly.
It sounds painful.
That's why he has a chip.
Oh. Okay.
Enough of this.
Way too much mental imagery for an episode. Now, well, finally, at the big climax, how does Gaston find that castle in like 3 seconds? Like he always knew it was existence.
To save time.
Well, maybe the mirror showed him.
The mirror showed him. Well, yeah, well, I guess he had, like, a big, you know, swooping camera shot.
The mirror became like a map. It's like, here you are, here's the castle.
That quest.
It is approximately 8.4 miles. Turn left at the soggy oak tree. Turn right at the orange almond tree.
See, if he would have turned right at that one sign, he would have wound up at Disneyland.
Or Valencia, depending on which way you go.
Depending on which way you went. So I think that wraps it up for our Beauty and the Beast nitpicks.
Yes, we don't want to take too much time.
The trivia question was, at what time does Mr. Banks march through his door? The answer is at 6:01. Today's top 10 list is about time pieces.
As in watches, clocks, etc.
Well, what else would it mean?
Just clarifying.
Thank you. To start off, at number 10,
The White Rabbit's Watch from Alice in Wonderland.
Well, no wonder you're late. Why, this clock is exactly 2 days slow.
2 days slow?
I think this would be higher on the list, but it was 2 days slow, after all. Of course, if a watch is really 2 days slow, wouldn't it exactly tell you the right time anyway?
Number 9, Big Ben from Peter Pan and the Great Mouse Detective.
Now, England must have some sort of ordinance against Peter Pan, because constantly he's changing Greenwich Mean Time by, like, 15 minutes just because he sits on their minute hand.
Number 8, the Michael Eisner watch from the Wonderful World of Disney introductions.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse wearing a Michael Eisner watch. One of the funnier images, just watching his hands, like, move around.
Number 7, the clock tower from the Clock Cleaners.
Loudly the bell in the old tower ring.
Bing.
It's interesting because the tower has Father Time and the Statue of Liberty.
Number 6, Boo's Buku Clock.
That's so cute. You know, it really surprises me that Disney has never made a reproduction of that, because I believe that would be a hot seller.
Yeah, everybody wants one of those now.
Especially if you can turn off the sound, because that might get annoying.
Number 5, Cogsworth.
He's actually a walking, talking clock. But what's interesting is he doesn't seem to tell the time, because his hands don't really do much. So he's kind of unfunctional. But he talks, so that helps.
Number 4, the Three-Eyed Mickey Watch from Chicken Little.
Again, definite merchandise potential with this one. Possibly the funniest thing in the entire movie.
Number 3, the Haunted Mansion Spooky Clock.
Now this clock really is cool, because if you look at it, you can see all different kinds of shapes and things in it. Like, you can see a face, you can see like a devil tail, and it's a really interesting piece of furniture, honestly.
Number 2, Geppetto's Clocks from Pinocchio. He has a whole lot of very interesting clocks.
Including the very un-PC spanking clock.
What was he thinking when he made that? It's
kind of funny because he talks about how much he wants a little boy, and then he has this horrible thing with a spanky kid. So he's realistic about it. He doesn't expect his kid to be an innocent kid. Like, he expects him kind of to be a brat. So it works out because he gets one.
And number 1. Drum roll, please. It's the Small World Happy Clock.
Honestly, possibly the best attraction facade ever.
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 Ever, ever.
But seriously, beautiful, beautiful facade. Based on concepts from Mary Blair, which I've always loved and always will love, but it's just a very beautiful thing to look at. And now, I mean, with the way they decorated for Christmas, it's very versatile. It's worked white, it's worked blue, it's even worked multicolored. Of course, people disagree on what's better, but it's a good facade.
And it's been made 3 different times?
Yes.
Because the Disneyland Paris version is a little bit different because it's a little more artsy, but overall, it's still Happy Clock.
Happy Clock. And I'm happy to announce our first contest here on our podcast. Our first contest is going to test your knowledge in Disney quotes. We are going to play 10 different quotes from 10 different Disney films. And what we're going to need you to do is identify the character and the film from which it was said. The winner will be the person who correctly answers the most quotes first. We do have a great prize from the Laughing Place store. We have a lovely litho featuring a whole cast of Disney characters in front of the castle. It's a very beautiful piece, so I'm very happy to be giving that out. So we're going to play them in order. I'm going to number the quotes, and you can go ahead and send us your answers by email at podcast@laughingplace.com. And so, without further ado, let's go on to the quotes. 1.
Clouds. Strange clouds.
2.
Happy birthday!
3.
Blast! I'm already awake!
That was for the smell.
4.
That's where the water comes in. I'm afraid to go over there.
5.
Don't let me hold you up.
6.
You see the hat? I am Mrs. Nesbitt.
7.
Mustard! Don't let's be silly.
8.
Oh gosh, who made them?
Well, it wasn't Cinderella.
9.
Okay, fine, but remember, be yourself.
10.
Well, now that all depends. Do you want New Coke, Classic Coke, Cherry Coke, Diet Coke, or Caffeine Free Coke?
There you have it, your 10 quotes to identify.
Good luck. You could submit your answers by emailing us at podcast@laughingplace.com, or you could call us toll-free at 1-866-327-5072. If you are under 18 years of age, please make sure you have a parent's or guardian's permission before calling.
And remember, you can also call us in regards to our Armchair Imagineering segment next week about new animal exhibits for Animal Kingdom or any other Disney topic you wish to share with everybody. And now, Jonathan, with our last words.
Remember, a stitch in time means Lilo is not far behind.
Bye now.
See ya.